Welcome back to Morning Coffee with Rick Alexander. The theme for the month of November is the second annual 21 Maxims to Maximize Your Life. These are thoughts and contemplations to help you begin finding your own North Arrow as you navigate what could only be described as a chaotic 2020. If you want to go deeper than just the audio experience, you can also head to rickalexander.com and find the show notes as well as journaling prompts. Also, that will be linked up in the show notes of this episode. I also did a short show on how to journal if you're new to it and want to check that out as well. It'll be included on the 21 Maxims page of the website. And of course, if you do get anything at all out of these, it would mean the world to me if you would head to iTunes, give us a 5-star review, and just share the show with anyone you think could benefit from the message. All right, without further ado, on to the show. Maxim number 5, listen to the body. It almost always knows before the head. So what I'm going to do to kick this episode off is I'm going to read an excerpt from a researcher named Bessel van der Kolk, and he wrote a book called The Body Keeps the Score, Brain, Mind, and Body in the Healing of Trauma. So this passage is about sort of learning to befriend the body. Now, I'm going to read it in terms of trauma. So let me say two things about that. One, everybody experiences trauma in some way. Like, life is inherently traumatizing because you're not ready for the things that you go through. And this is always true, right? And so there's a lot of us that just have experienced trauma. We've never framed it within the context of understanding trauma. And because of that, we don't understand the degree to which those things are stored in our body and the way that our nervous system is actually reacting to those things. And then further on that scale, we get introduced to like big T trauma, right? And these are the really horrific things that people go through. And those conversations tend to center around real traumatic things that you know, we all know of as trauma. Now, the reason I'm saying it within this context is because the idea that these things are stored in the body is something that has really grown in the last decade or so. And really a lot of it is on the back of Bessel van der Kolk's work. And I kind of got introduced to this through Danielle. But one of the things that you begin to understand in this is that the body's not just holding trauma. There's an intelligence built in there because our bodies are hundreds and thousands of years old. Like, they've been forged through evolution in a very intelligent manner. And the prefrontal cortex, the part of the mind that you're using to make decisions and to make abstract thought, is much newer. And so it's not quite as in tune with the world that we live in as the body is. So let me get to this quote. He says, "Trauma victims cannot recover until they become familiar with and befriend the sensations in their bodies. Being frightened means that you live in a body that is always on guard. Angry people live in angry bodies. The bodies of child abuse victims are tense and defensive until they find a way to relax and feel safe. In order to change, people need to become aware of their sensations and the way that their bodies interact with the world around them. Physical self-awareness is the first step in releasing the tyranny of the past. In my practice, I begin the process by helping my patients to first notice and then describe the feelings in their bodies. Not emotions such as anger or anxiety or fear, but the physical sensation beneath the emotions. Pressure, heat, muscular tension, tingling, caving in, feeling hollow, and so on. I also work on identifying the sensations associated with relaxation or pleasure. I help them become aware of their breath, their gestures, and movements. All too often, however, drugs such as Abilify, Zyprexa, or Seroquel are prescribed instead of teaching people the skills to deal with such distressing physical reactions. Of course, medications only blunt sensations and do nothing to resolve them or transform them from toxic agents into allies. The mind needs to be re-educated to feel physical sensations, and the body needs to be helped to tolerate and enjoy the comforts of touch. Individuals who lack emotional awareness are able, with practice, to connect their physical sensations to psychological events. Then they can slowly reconnect with themselves." Now, I don't want to frame this in terms of me being an expert, because I am learning to come home to my body as I am sharing this. And the reason, though, that I wanted to make it a maxim is because, well, it's because we live in a culture that loves to treat the symptom and never the underlying problem. We live in a culture that, as I said yesterday, loves to solve problems in their head without living those solutions out in their bodies. And because of this, lots of us get stuck in cyclic thought. We get stuck in traumas from the past. The thing to understand is that, as I said at the beginning of the show, your body is forged through hundreds of thousands of years of evolution and fine-tuned at that. And so it's very, very intelligent. There is, through the vagus nerve, you actually have neurons that are running both north and south. So we tend to think that our bodies are the machine and then our brain is the command center. But what neuroscience is actually beginning to show is that that's just not true. It's actually both things are running both ways. So neurons are running both ways. And so the command center is actually just as much the body as it is the brain. Right? And so that's where we want to ground our understanding in today's episode. Now, the second thing that I want to say is oftentimes what happens is we have a certain sensation or we have a certain feeling. Now, the job of the mind, as I've said on this show ad nauseum, is to rationalize the world that we live in, right? And so what that means is that you look around and you add narratives to the world in order to better understand it, right? That's what rationalizing actually is. And so oftentimes what happens is we feel some sort of sensation within our body. And then when that feeling hits the mind, it starts to add a narrative to it. And what that does is create emotions. Now, sometimes emotions are helpful, right? Because they are carriers of information, right? So there's a lot of hermeneutics within emotions because they're actually telling us something that is going on. But oftentimes what can happen is, say we begin to feel edgy within our body and we're not used to identifying that sensation. And then the next thing that happens is now we have narratives running through our head that are attached to anxiety because our brain has begun to believe, okay, feeling anxious, okay, well, anxiety, I don't know what that means. And so let's start the loop of starting to freak out. And anybody that's been gripped by anxiety in their life knows that. Now, what I'm suggesting is that perhaps when we start to feel the narratives, what we can do is sink into our body and actually start to feel what is coming up for us. Now, this takes practice. I actually worked with it just today as I'm recording this, day before it comes out, with a client about how to actually start to feel the things in their body that they're actually going through. And in identifying what it actually feels like, perhaps what you can do is start to treat the underlying problem, not the symptom. Like I said, in our culture, we love to treat the symptom. But if you chase narratives and you chase emotions around, it's likely that you'll just never come up with anything, right? And people that live really emotional lives feel that. We experience that. So you're like following these things around. You're trying to figure out, what's my problem? What's my problem? Well, the body's trying to tell you, and it always has been. But we don't really like to listen because we're in a mind that treats our bodies as if it's a machine that will do whatever we want. Now, the interesting thing is all of us know that that's not how the body works, right? Like you know that, and you wouldn't need any personal development advice, rules, books, podcasts, whatsoever, if you could just tell yourself exactly what to do and then just go do it, right? That works right up until it doesn't. And then you're left with no more answers because you're not a machine that you can do whatever you want with. And so what I propose with the meaning of this episode is that you begin to build a symbiotic relationship with your body. It's not you telling it what to do. It's you listening to it to understand what to do. Now, I'm not going to go into the way that trauma is stored in the body and the stuff that is held in that book, Body Keeps the Score, because quite honestly, I don't have like this really great understanding where I should be at a level where I'm actually teaching people. I'm walking this path myself. But what I do want to do is offer an invitation for you to walk it as well, because the life of living in your head constantly doesn't get us anywhere. Like we, if we could think our way out of our problems, as I've said on here a million times, we would have. There's a way I explain it in my new book. You know, when I was in fourth grade, really big into electricity. I don't know why, just fascinated by it. I did that experiment where you kind of build a magnet out of a nail. So the way that this experiment works is you take a nail, you wrap a coil around said nail, and then it's gotta be a bare wire, so it's gotta be metal on metal, and then you attach that wire to a positive and to a negative charge. And what happens is the energy, as it flows around the coil, it's given to the nail and it attracts metal. It creates a magnet out of the nail. Now, when we overthink our problems, this is exactly what we do. And so the modern person thinks in problems. They don't think in solutions. And that's why we have such a hard time solving our problems in the first place. You know, Einstein said one time, he said, you know, if I had an hour to solve a really hard problem, I'd spend the first 55 minutes thinking about the actual problem. See, in our society, the problem's never the problem. We go around treating the solutions. And so what happens is, let's say that you're replaying a scenario in your head, or you have some sort of problem in your head that's not really working for yourself. Well, you're magnetizing it, right? And so when you think in problems, you can think about your thoughts as that coil wrapped around that problem, and you're sending energy to it, which is attracting more of itself. And so what's happening as you're overthinking your problems is it's actually attracting more problems. You're not thinking in solutions, you're thinking about the problem. Now, it's very hard to stop doing this, because one of the rules of the mind is you can't ever tell it what not to do, right? You can't tell your mind what not to think about. And if you ever try it, it just doesn't work. That's one of the reasons why when people can't sleep, they tell them to count sheep, because it takes their mind off of the problem, right? You can't stop thinking about the problem when you try to stop thinking about the problem. Our minds just aren't set up that way. And so what you want to do is you want to redirect your attention to something else. And so if you have a problem and you've already thought about it as much as you can, you reach a point where you realize, I'm never going to think my way out of this problem. And so what do you have to do? You've got to remap your thought process. You've got to start thinking in solutions. Now, this is the beauty of today's episode. Whenever you find yourself thinking in problems and attracting more problems, what you want to do is get in your body. Right? You want to live your way out of this problem. You do not want to just continue to think about it, because that's not going to help. You've already figured that out. Yet we don't really know what else to do, and we're never given the tools to do this stuff. And so we just continue to overthink. Right? And so what you actually want to do is get into your body. Right? You can't ever conclude that you've had a bad day if you've not worked out. Right? If you've not had a movement practice, you cannot conclude that you're having a bad day, because it might be that you're actually just patterning your thoughts around all of your problems. Now you can continue to do that, and that's one way of moving through the world, or you can get into your body, you can start to move, you can start to redirect your narratives, you can start to refocus on other sensations. And that's fundamentally one of the reasons why working out is such a good idea to have mental health. It's also one of the reasons, consequently, why closing down gyms in the midst of a pandemic is a bad idea. Even if the chance of the pandemic spreading goes up, one of the things that the CDC has come out to say now is that the solution can't be worse than the problem. And what we're finding is all of these mental health problems correlated with shutting down. Now, some of that is because, of course, like we are being barred from the redemptive qualities of being human, as I've talked about on this show in the past week, like laughing with people and connecting with people and loving people and being touched by people and touching other people. But aside from that, there's another problem, which is we're just not using our bodies nearly as much, and we are not solely thinking creatures, right? We are biological living creatures. And so we've got to live our way out of our problems. And so we've got to get back in our bodies and learn how to trust them. We've got to learn to dialogue with them. We've got to learn to figure out what's going on within them so that we can take our focus off of the narrative, right? Does this make sense? Are you guys following this? You know, the problem's always the problem as long as you stay dwelling on it. It will just stay there, and you'll attract more of itself. You'll send energy to it. And you'll continue to find yourself living in these repeated loops. And so what you want to do is sink back into your body and get on with your life. Listen to your body. It almost always knows before the head, before the mind. I love you guys. Hope you have an amazing day. And we will talk Monday with Maxim number 6.